I did want to share one of the coolest things that happened to me is we were there Wednesday night for a dinner with about a dozen people. Then we had Thursday, Friday, we taught at a workshop. Saturday, all day till I think about 3 or 4 o'clock. Then Sunday, Jim taught in the morning, I taught in the evening. And I went home exhausted, but so excited. I went back to the flat tired, but super excited. And I knew we were leaving out at 6 o'clock the next morning, so I had a hard time sleeping. So I'm trying to pray. Do you guys ever do that? You're just sleeping. You can't go to sleep. And you're like, I've only got 6 more hours. I got to go to sleep. I've only got 5.5 more hours. God, where are you? Am I the only one that does that? No. Then it goes from God, thank you for the, first you quote, you know, God, thank you for your angels that are here. And I know you're one who gives good sleep and good dreams. So thank you. And 30 minutes later, then an hour later, you're just mad at God. So I'm trying, I'm on the upswing again, and I'm praying again, and I feel like the Lord just, I feel like this just one phrase keeps coming to me. Walk up the stairs, take a left, and you'll meet a man. And every time I'm praying, walk up the stairs, take a left, you'll meet a man. Walk up the stairs, take a left, you'll meet a man. I know it's not in Lerwick because we're leaving the next day. And we're going to stay 2 partial days in Edinburgh because we're trying to get a connect there in Edinburgh where we can do some sort of ministry or bless some ministry that's there. And so we met with some people and things like that. The last part of the Tuesday, we were flying out on Wednesday, we were going to meet David and Beth's daughter. Fiona lives there. So the very end, we're back from another town. We took the train out, came back in. So this is what we do. We go up the stairs because we're kind of like, here's the castle. There's Princess Street goes down here, and we're down here. So we go up the stairs, which almost always we take the long way around because those stairs are long when you're a flatlander. We go up the stairs. We take a left. I walk into a store trying to buy some gifts and stuff like that, which I'm horrible at shopping, so I'm already irritated just looking through the store going, somebody else should shop for me. So I'm walking back. And say Aubrey's sitting down, and he's like the checker. He's about a 55-year-old Scotsman. Give me a scowl, a good scowl. And all I do is I hear him say, I don't need a blessing. I don't want to be blessed. I've been blessed all my life. And there's another man standing right here. And so he pays and he leaves. And I'm already gone. And I thought, that's really weird. I start thinking, I thought, I bet that guy that I just saw the back of, I bet he just tried to bless that guy. So being me, I ran out and I tap this guy. I find him on the street. I tap him on the shoulder and I had big goatee. And I'm like, did you just try to bless that guy? And he's like, he looks scared. He's like, yes, I did. I said, why would you do that? Just being curious, but not realizing that I can be a little bit loud. Just a little bit intimidating sometimes. And he goes, I'm a pastor with the Church of Scotland. And so we started talking, and I had just had this conversation with people of how mean Church of Scotland ministers are. And so I had to, had just this real quick thing I had to get over that he's not going to be judgmental. He's not going to be like, oh, everything has to be exactly this way. You're not really a Christian, and whatever it is. And then I said, in a couple minutes conversation, and I said, I just got back from Shetland doing some religious work. He's like, really? I have a friend that lives up there named Sam Leckie. My mouth drops open. Sam is the elder at the church where Jim got saved, that Jim lived with when he was over there, and he's the guy that brought us over in June and this time. So by the time I got back Wednesday night, this pastor and teacher at the college there is my Facebook friend. So you think maybe we might have a connect in Edinburgh later on. But, you know, I don't connect anything. So Sam is the one that said, hey, maybe that's your connect. You know, because we need other people to help us with those things. So that was a really neat thing for me and for us to experience that. And Jim actually saw me running out. And knowing me, he thought I was running after somebody who was shoplifting because I would try to stop somebody. Maybe I wouldn't now, but I would definitely butt in on some stuff. But it was really neat. And I'm going to show this next picture. This is Charlie. I'm going to talk a little bit about praise today, not as much as I was going to. But Charlie is in his late 70s. And last time we were there, you know, we gave out little books, and he said, that book changed my life. Here's somebody who's 70 years old. This little book on prayer. It's about relational prayer, something that we would probably take for granted. But Charlie's story is he's 40-something years old, and he's in mainland Scotland, and he's been an alcoholic for years and years and years, lost his wife, his daughter, everything. And he's just trying to get dried out for a while. And he has this huge experience with God. And in 1 minute, he never takes a drink again. And so he's 70-something years old. He was actually playing guitar, I believe, when Jim got saved down in the little town square. And this guy is just like, when I started thinking about praise, I was thinking of this guy right here. Because his whole life is praise. He never dares to try to teach anybody. He never tries to say anything that he thinks Scripture says. All he does is tell the stories of what God did for him and is still doing for him today. And when he saw me and Jim, he was like shaking. He was like, "I'm so excited. This is the most exciting thing that happened in my life since last time you guys were here." You know, and here's a guy that's just, this is the guy that you'd want to have his spirit about you in him. That he's so giving and he's so full of praise for us and what we do. And I want to talk about praise out of Philippians 4, which I read a little bit, I'll read again. But I want to talk about it in different. So we just had a moment of praise here. We just had a moment of praise here at the church that most of us, when we say we need to be people of praise, we think we need to praise God in the sanctuary, and that's that. And that's just not true. But I think it's cool that God gave us some time of praise like that, because I don't want to minimize what happens corporately and what we're supposed to have and do when praise goes on together. Because when we come together, we're saying we're in this together. We're all going to sing the same songs together. We're all going to listen to the same person together. We're not going to have iPods on. We're not going to all be on a train, all listening and reading and doing something different and thinking different thoughts. We're going to focus on Jesus and Jesus alone when we're together. And that's corporate. But then there's happened something outwardly that when you're by yourself or when you're in your work, you're supposed to be living a life of praise. And if you're like me, you've danced in church before. You've danced with, like, because people are making you dance. We had to jump in the house. Oh, you're like exhausting. You're like, I'm not a teenager anymore. That was when I was about 40. You know, when I was in my 30s, you jump and you know. And that's okay. That's all part of actually the language of praise in the Old Testament and the Bible that is still appropriate for us to raise our hands, for us to move our hands, for us to sing and to shout, for us to be on our knees, for us to dance, for us to, it says in there, have movement while we're praising God. But really, when we get to the New Testament, we see this picture of movement being our life. That if you're really, really good at praising God in here, but you're really, really bad about praising God out there, you're in big trouble. Because the greatest praise is a life lived that draws people to the Lord, not a service that's exciting and has praise in it because of good music and good instruments and good sound and a good setting, and because we're in a culture where people already dance and praise. The most powerful praise is praise that attracts other people to God. If the simple definition for praise is to esteem and to put value on, to place importance on, then we can take it outside of music, although music is important. What does praise look like in your life? What does a life of praise, what does an act of praise look like in your life? That's the harder question. That's the harder question. And Jesus came and kept asking lots of hard questions. It's never, how do you worship God in service? How do you worship God? How do you praise God here? How do you pray in front of others? How do you pray here? It's, how do you live a life of prayer? How do you be a person of prayer that's constantly connecting to God? It's those kind of questions. So in Philippians, let's look at Philippians 4. This is going to be in the NIV. Is anybody else warm in here? I'm baking up. Me and the pregnant lady. Awesome. we're both having hormonal changes. Thank you. So, by the way, I don't want to forget. I don't want to get too distracted. But we had a great shower for Caroline and her baby yesterday, and I heard it was fantastic and beautiful and loads of gifts. So let's just give her a hand of, like, for being a mom. And then, I don't know if you met them, but everybody look to the very back here, and Stevie's mom and dad are going to raise their hands. That's Steve and Sarah. So I'm assuming that the good looks and smarts and best everything that Lee talked about comes from this couple. So we're good to... Okay. Yeah, but it was all for Caroline though. So we want to thank you, Cresha, but for Caroline to celebrate her. And then so let me read Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, which we could interchange, rejoice, praise, thanksgiving, be thankful, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, I already stated this, but I want us to see we are created to praise. We were created to describe, to rejoice, to be thankful for who God is. That's how we were created. Do you imagine like Adam and Eve walking along together with God in the Garden of Eden? I imagine God praising them. I am so glad. I'm so thankful I made you. You guys are awesome. We get to see each other every day, and like it's like this. Look at this. And they're back praising God. Oh, I love these trees. And hey, you know when I was with the lions the other day, and you let me name them, and oh, that was so much fun. Thank you for making me and giving me responsibility over the earth. I think it was a back and forth. We were created to praise. If we're not praising God, we're not fulfilling what we're created to be. Let me take it a step further. If Scripture says, how can you say you love God without loving people who you can see? How can you say that? And he's saying you can't say that. Can we add then their praise? How can you say you praise God, that you're thankful to God who you can't see, if you're not thankful for those people around you that you can see? Our praise of God will translate into praising other people appropriately. So how can we praise God? We can say, praise God. But that's like a parrot. It doesn't resonate. It doesn't bring any value. But when we tell people, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was a drunk. I was prideful, but now I walk in a greater sense of humility. That might not sound quite right. I was prideful, but now I'm not. But if I should be a person who's way angrier and way more bent out of shape about everything. I should be more controlling than I am. But God keeps doing things in my life every day, and it's amazing. And when people hear that about God, that begins to change their perspective of God. Saying praise God, even all together, is powerful, but saying praise God out there sounds differently than it does in here. So thanking God for who he is, putting value on him, translates us into us placing value on other people. I mean true value. So what if we started looking at people how God saw them and not how we see their actions or we see their words? What if we begin to ignore, I don't mean ignore if you're their boss and they're lazy or if you're, you know, there's adultery. I don't mean those things. But what if in our constant constant conversation, we begin to ignore people that were swearing and just spoke to the heart of them? What if we begin to, I don't mean ignore the people, I mean ignore the swearing. What if we just ignored this, even sometimes the addiction that was right there, and we began to speak to the deeper parts of them, the deeper hope of them, and begin to lift them up that way? When we praise God, we'll praise people. I think that also, that when God looks at me, and we taught this when we are unique, the positive ID, he's calling me beautiful, right? He's calling me powerful. He's calling you amazing. He's calling you unique. Fearful and wonderfully made isn't just for kids in the womb, although it applies to you today, and it applies to everyone else out there. And the reason we walk in addiction, the reason we walk in shame, the reason we walk in misery and depression is because we don't understand how thankful God is and the value that God has over us and what he's praising us for. If we saw that, if we could attach ourselves to his value for us, valuing him, we would begin to value others. And you know what? Things would change around us. What would be different? What would be different if you begin to literally sing the praises of the people closest to you? What if every time you saw your kids, I have a kid here today, every time you saw your kids, you begin to sing their praises. Every time you saw your spouse, it's even harder. Begin to sing their praises. I don't mean, oh, you're awesome. I love how you swept. I love how you did this. But as I talk to God about you, this is what I see in you. Begin to describe those things. I think it probably works with other people around you also, outside of your family. It works inside of this church. It works at work. Positive talking about people's strengths is so much more powerful than talking about people's weaknesses. And so when we see here, we're created to praise. Praise brings peace. And the peace of God, in verse 7, and then I'm going to go to verse 9, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Praise brings something into the situation. Praise in your bad situation brings peace. It brings the one who is peace, who is what we really want. Remember, God's not over there, oh, he prayed for peace. Let me throw him a chunk of peace. God enters in when we ask for peace. He himself enters in. Any peace without him there is manufactured peace that's going to be taken away and broken later on. So we have this image of that when there's praise, when there's thankfulness, when we're valuing him and we're valuing who we are in him, peace will be there. His presence will be there. And with his presence there, there's nothing we have need for. Everything we want. I don't mean everything we want like I want my car, or I want a new house, or I want that. But everything we want, everything our soul longs for, everything our spirit, everything our heart really, really longs for is provided when God shows up. And it comes through praise. It comes through praise, thankfulness. But you know what? I think if you could have a language, change your language about yourself, talk about yourself in a positive way, in a God way, how God sees you, I think the language around you would change. I think the way you think would change. I think if you could take one person and put this to practice at your work, one person, and don't say anything. And you might have to, don't take a person you have to evaluate or assess maybe, or, you know, because you do need to fire people. We do need to do those things in business. We do need to separate ourselves from certain people. But find somebody at your job, in your neighborhood, in your life, that you can only speak things of praise over them. You'll find yourself quickly at a loss, I'll tell you what. Because you start praising them for what they have, what they can do, for what you hear them say. But when it gets deeper, more specific, you'll start saying things that they only hope they are. That's what real praise is. When we praise a person and God, when God puts value on us, he's actually speaking things over us. We go, I hope I'm that way. I hope I have a heart of David. I hope I'm that way. I hope I have that gift over me. So it's speaking things, and it breaks something up, but it invites him in to your conversations. And praise focuses us on God. We kind of had that example during the worship of this right here. You know, if this was you're focused on, I feel like the Lord showed me this week in studying that the focusing on my problems is the same as focusing on my success. In his eyes, they're the same thing. They're just things there to bring him glory, to build you into the person that you hope you are. Not one or the other matters more or worse. Of course, as humans, we love looking at that. Oh, this is great. This is awesome. But our eyes are still on the ground. Focusing on my sin is not humility. It's pride. It's selfishness. It's self-centeredness. Focusing on anything about me that's negative, that I'm doing wrong, to focus on that, I begin to manipulate my whole life focused around that thing that I'm focused on, I'm concentrated on. Have you ever tried to walk through something where you're like being real careful where you walk and you get somewhere like, oh, this isn't where I want to go? We keep our head up and God guides our steps and guards our steps. I want to say that again, that idea that concentrating on your sin, it's not healthy. It's not godly. It's not humility. It's not spiritual. It's bad. It's unhealthy. It'll do you wrong every time. It makes that your master, you its servant. It won't bring any health into your life. We raise our eyes up, we look at him, and he looks at us, and we see in his gaze how crazy in love he is with us, and I begin to change. And what happens to the junk around me? It begins to dissipate. I'm getting like goose, man. I'm like, I'm all hot and sweaty, and now I'm cold at the same time. So I'm miserable up here. Hallelujah. But think about it. We have this language of false humility, this language of I can't say anything good about myself. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, I would do this, but I have this problem in my life. And God's like, well, I'll have none of that. Everybody he uses is damaged people, is people with something in their past, is somebody with a limp, with some struggle that's damaged them. Every one of us is that way. Not one of us is out of that. Every one of us. And every time we look at somebody and we think they're great and we don't recognize and appreciate their past experiences, their wounds, their limp, then we're doing them a disservice, we're doing God a disservice. Because God don't make no junk, but he uses a lot of junk, all right? And when we praise him, when we properly place him in our lives, it changes things. I did the same thing up in Scotland. I told everybody we did this I think in October. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor something that you think is awesome about them. And then they all did that and they had so much fun. And I said, now turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor something that's awesome about you. And some people turned around and looked at me like they were like totally afraid, and everybody mumbled, and I finally just stopped it because it was so hard. And what we do is we tell things that are great about ourselves, usually that's superficial. Usually that we can actually show. We don't say things that God's told us about ourselves, that he loves us or that's unique about us. And so I want us to really think about that praise that we have for God comes down to praising other people also. And praising ourselves, not downing ourselves, not disregarding ourselves or disrespecting ourselves. And, you know, Lee kind of tapped into a little bit of that, he's as equally as important as Stevie, even though Stevie's the best-looking, smartest, better guitar player than anybody in here. And we have, what, 4 or 5 guitar players. But it doesn't matter. Everyone in here has their place. In this church, in any setting that we're in any setting that you're in, you have your place. But you know what? And it's not your sin that keeps you away from it. It's your shame of your sin. It's your focus on that instead of on him. You focus on yourself instead of on him. And so when we're people of praise, we're not false in our praise, we're not stupid in our praise, but it's the foolishness of the cross that leads us to praise. And this last one in I think it's verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me. Oh, so I want to go back real quick to 6. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. No, I'm going to go back to 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. You know what? The apostle is saying it's tangible. The things you're supposed to praise God and others for are tangible, describable, knowable. When we just go around going, hallelujah, praise God, God is so good, nobody cares, nobody understands it. It's got to be clear. You got to paint a picture. You got to find those things that are true and worthy and excellent and honorable and right and pure. We've got to find those about him, about us, and about others. And we start with him, don't we? It always starts with him. It always starts with him like that, but it always starts with him. If we start with him there, it's the foundation that everything begins to root up and we're built up, and then we begin to see ourselves well and right and right standing with him and happy with who he made us to be, and then we begin to see others that way too. It's always focusing on him that produces a foundation rooted in him that produces right fruit. All right, and then this last one here, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. We've got to practice praise. So what does practicing praise look like? It looks like everything I just said. It looks like everything I just mentioned. It looks like speaking health and life and abundance over people. It looks like doing your job at your work with great excellence and great happiness. You know, when abundant life kind of fell apart and I got to lead there, and most of you know the story. It was about 850 people left, so we had 150 people left. I could have been super unhappy that I was working 70 and 80 hours a week for a long period of time and gave myself a big pay cut and lost all my benefits, or I could rejoice and be super thankful that I met David Reed and Dawn and Marion and these two right here and other people, the Manzanillas. Think about that, the Geyers. Think about how awesome that is. You can concentrate. And I could also concentrate, well, at least I'm not mowing yards for $6 an hour, working 70 hours a week. There's always something practical and real to be thankful for. Find out and be thankful for where you're at, for your job, for your marriage, for your kids, for your home, for your car, for your soul, for how he made you, for your spiritual giftings, for the spiritual fruit in you, for your ministry, for who you are. Thank God for those things. Put it into practice. And go to your work. In Colossians 3, it says, do everything as unto God. And be happy while you're doing it. That would be unto God. I think I'm done because I just don't want to keep going. Let's go ahead and stand up. I'm gonna pray. I wrote a prayer blessing out of Philippians. I want to pray over you, and I want you to receive this if you will. If you could hold someone's hand next to you, that would be great. Go ahead and close your eyes. I just want you to receive this. This is for us. This is for you. So, Father, this morning we want to celebrate you all day, today, and all day, every day for the rest of our lives. We want to enter into a praise and a worship and a place of valuing you that we know is coming in eternity in our time in heaven, but we want to enter into that right now. God, we want to make it clear to everyone we meet that you are for them and not against them, that you're on their side, wooing over them over, even those who would say they hate you. And God, we want to be actively praising you and drawing people to you in how we speak and how we live and how we act at work and at play and at our homes. God, help us not to fret or worry over the insignificant issues of this life. And instead of worrying, to talk to you about it, shaping our worries, shaping our fears, shaping the thoughts in our hearts into prayers and into praise. God, we're confident that you are present with us right now. You're present with us tomorrow and with us forever. You're present within us. You're present on the outside of us. Yet we still struggle with acting like you care for us right now in our present situations. So we ask you to give us great faith and great confidence in who you are and not in who we are. God, fill our minds with your thoughts, our emotions with what you feel. Help us to meditate on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. God, help us to put into practice what we are learning and what you are showing us. We trust you to make it all work together in one brilliant, excellent symphony of sound and light. So, Father God, we just thank you for these words in Philippians. We thank you for creating us a specific way to operate. We thank you for a newness and a freshness of understanding how we're people of praise, of being unafraid to grow closer to you, to value you, to experience you, to hear you respond back to us. God, help us to be a people of praise in our words and our actions and all that we do. And God, in all that we have, we give you thanks. In the way we think, we give you thanks. In the way that we feel and have emotions, we give you thanks. In the way that you've made us to see and to hear, we give you thanks. In our personality, we give you thanks. In what we do at our work and how we are and our hobbies, we give you thanks, God. And God, in our finances, in our homes, in our parenting and our children, we say thank you. Everybody say, we say thank you. Father God, we just thank you so much. We love you and we know that you love us and it's changing our lives. Amen. God bless you.